Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, what an awesome presence of God. Hallelujah. Let's praise him some more. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. We love you, Jesus, so much. We love you, Jesus, so much. Praise God. One announcement I failed to make. This morning, Brother O'Neill had turned in an announcement about an African outreach this coming Saturday. And I don't have the particulars of that, Brother O'Neill. If you could stand up and just tell us what time that starts. Okay, the African Fest. Okay. Okay, there will be a table set up there from our church sharing tracts and information about church services and such. So if you'd like to be involved, let Brother O'Neill know. We do need a good number of people to be there and be involved, so please keep this in mind. We'd like for all of you to stand, if you would. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, here we go. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I do not say this lightly, but I say this because I really mean it. I don't know where we would find a better missionary couple. I'm talking about dedicated, productive, having success that's greater than the Nichols. Europe has been a very, very hard, difficult field to work in. But they've gone there in Eastern Europe. Now, Eastern Europe seems to be a lot more open than the Western European countries. But this couple has done a remarkable job. And when Brothers and Sister Nichols comes and makes their presentation, I want you to pray about a special offering for them, which we will be taking probably in 15 minutes or so. And we'd like to take them on. We'd like to increase from $90, which we just increased, to more. And if you feel led in your heart to give more, please write it on a piece of paper or something, drop it in the offering, and we would be glad to increase that. Brother Nichols and Sister Nichols are from Wisconsin. They were in the Eau Claire area working in Christian education in Pentecostal Assembly when the Lord called them to Belarus. And they met with all of our ministers at district conference. We raised money for them when they were on the AIM program, and now they're full career missionaries, and we love you folks. We appreciate you, and we're behind you. Give him a great big warm welcome as he comes. God bless you, Brother Nichols.
You are so kind to me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good. You may be seated. You know, I love the atmosphere in this place. It was very similar to the morning service where the presence of God is so thick. And I'm so thankful that God so loved the world. Because knowing that God so loved the world means that God loved me. And I wasn't raised, my wife and I were not raised in an apostolic church. We wish to God we had been. And we went to a large denominational church, and we didn't have a relationship with God. And I remember, I grew up in Connecticut. I was born and raised in Connecticut. And I remember one autumn evening, it was during school, and we had eaten supper, and we were able to go out to play for a little while. And we were in this field, and our parents, back then, when I was a kid, that you could hear in the neighborhood the moms calling everybody home, you know, the different moms going through the list of their kids, calling them home. And so it broke up our game. We were playing football. And I don't know, I was walking across that field, and all of a sudden I stopped. And all my friends and everybody that was playing, they just kept on walking. And I happened to look up into the sky, and the stars were starting to come out, and it was a cool autumn evening. And I meant it with all my heart. I had tears well up in my eyes, and I looked up to the sky, and I said, God, if you're real, I want to know you. I was about 10, 11 years old. And I remember that was a cry of my heart. And I remember there were mornings before school. I would go early, and I would go into the church that I attended. Of course, it was empty, nothing going on. And I would sit there and just pray and ask God, you know, who he was. And I wanted to know him. And time went on, and I forgot about that prayer. And I forgot about those days. I became a teenager. I got rebellious. I got into things that I should not have gotten into. And I had forgotten that. But I'm here to tell you that God has a great memory. God does not forget the cry of a heart. And at the age of 26, my wife and I were witness to, and we went into an apostolic church in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And the presence of God was there just like it's here tonight. And I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea. I couldn't understand anything they were doing. They were clapping hands. They were raising hands. They were shouting, singing, dancing, all kinds of stuff. And honestly, I thought they were crazy. But I felt the presence of the Lord in that place. And I could not get away from that presence. And that God who I prayed to when I was 10 or 11 years old that evening in that field touched my heart. And I was able to repent of my sins. And when I did, God filled me with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I was baptized in his name. Hallelujah. And I've never been the same since. You know, when somebody told me about the Holy Ghost, I had no idea about speaking in tongues. I didn't know anything about it. And when I heard it, it really scared me. I thought, what if this Holy Ghost, what if I'm in a store and I'm buying something and this Holy Ghost comes on me and all of a sudden I start speaking in this language I don't know? What are people going to think? I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you what, when I received the Holy Ghost, I found out that the Holy Ghost is good. Hallelujah. Amen. And it will change your life. You know, some people don't believe in speaking in tongues. They say, you just make that up. But I'm here to tell you something. Twice in my life, overseas, I have seen two different people in two different nations receive the Holy Ghost. And when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in English, a language they did not understand. Praise the Lord. The first one was in Masti, Belarus. We were in an initial meeting with this group, and we were worshiping during church, and there was I found out later, she was 17 years old. And when she began to speak in tongues, she was speaking American English. Now, I happen to be American, so I understood every word she was saying. And I didn't know what happened, so when I came to the pulpit, I said, Sister, do you speak English? And the congregation laughed, and she said, Brother, I don't know even one word of English. I said, well, let me tell you something. You may not know English, but every time you begin to worship God, you speak in tongues and you speak American English. I said, how would you like to know what you're saying when you speak in tongues? She said, tell me. She was saying, God, my God. Father, my Father, I have joy, joy, joy. Hallelujah. 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 A few years later, we went to Amsterdam, Holland, and we had special meetings with the Tuttles. And there was a young Dutch girl there that spoke no English. And she came to the altar, and I happened to be the one who was praying for her to receive the Holy Ghost. When she received the Holy Ghost, she was speaking in English. I did not know that she didn't know English, so I got Brother Tuttle, and Brother Tuttle says she's speaking in tongues. She knows no English whatsoever. So don't tell me that the Holy Ghost is not real. Don't tell me that you won't speak in a language that you don't know when you receive the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. It's real, saints of God, and it's for you tonight. Praise the Lord. If you're here tonight, you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's for you. Hallelujah, it's for you. And I can tell you all about it, but as one man once said, it's better felt than telt. Amen. It's better to receive the Holy Ghost than just talk about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I would like my wife to come up here and say what's on her heart. And I want to thank you, church. I was asked today, what can we do for you, Brother Nichols, that can just make everything better for you? And I thought, I said to this brother, I said, I have no idea. Because we have been treated so kind, so wonderfully. You know, we're just treated like I don't know, like royalty. And I just want to thank you. Your pastor and his wife are such wonderful people. And our praise the Lord. Amen. And the Browns, that who we've been staying with, they've been so gracious. There's a peace of God that resides in their home. My wife said to me today, she said, I don't think I'm going to go home. I think I'll just become part of the Brown family. That's what she told me. So praise the Lord. So wonderful. God bless you all for being so gracious to us.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It's awesome to be back in church tonight, don't you think? Where you can feel the presence of the Lord. And what I love, I just love it that you're free to worship. You know, there are some places that, you know, they're kind of bound or something, or they don't feel that freedom to express their love and appreciation to the Lord for all he's done. But I love to worship God. I love to praise him with all my heart. I love to sing his praises, and I sound like a frog, but oh well, he loves it any old way. And I love to dance before the Lord and shout before the Lord. And thank you for being open. Thank you for being a church that's open to the move of God and being allowing people to be free to worship and express their love for him. You know, I'm a missionary's wife. I'm a minister's wife. But first of all, I'm a Christian. Amen. First of all, I've been created to praise him. First of all, I've been created to love him and worship him. How about you? Do you love him? Has he ever done anything good for you? Oh, he's precious. And you are precious. When I get in this frame of mind, I always think of the scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. It's such a favorite portion of scripture for me, because it causes me to think back and remember where God has brought me from. And when I do that, it causes me to be a worshiper. And that's where, when you worship God, that's when you will see him move. Right, Brother O'Neill? When you worship the Lord, that's when you will receive something from him. When you worship him, it's like a cycle. Give to him, he gives back to you. Give to him, he gives back to you. And so I love to worship. Anyway, this portion of scripture, see what happens? I get so excited. I can't shut up. Okay. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's us. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, amen, who is rich in mercy, ooh, I love that, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Praise God. it goes on to say, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. If that doesn't make you want to shout, if that doesn't make you want to praise God, you need a resurrection. God bless you all. It's good to be with you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God we're saved by his blood. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to just, I've been asked just real briefly to tell you about our ministry. I need to apologize to you. We got home not too long ago from the field, and we're putting together about a 4 or 5 minute presentation of slides and all that, and it's not done yet, so you won't be able to see that. I apologize for that, because that would really explain our work. Next week, I think we're supposed to have it. But anyway, I do want to share with you. You know what I want to do? The Bible says in Psalm, boast in the Lord all the day long. Boast in the Lord all the day long. I heard an Olympic champion say recently, I am the champion and I will always be the champion. And I thought, no, you won't. No, you won't. Because you will get old. And you will no longer be the champion, because somebody will come along and take your place. So we can brag, we can boast, we can talk about all these things, but I'm telling you something, someday we will lose that right of boasting and bragging, but we serve a God who will never be that way. We can boast in the Lord all the day long. We can stand on the word of God. We can say, thus saith the Lord, and it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Hallelujah. I believe it. I said it this morning, and I'll say it again. I may not be a theologian, but I am a believer. Hallelujah. And I know that if you can trust this word, you can speak this word, and God will bring it to pass. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I've never seen him fail. I don't care whether it's for healing, finances, whatever it is. God is faithful. God is faithful, and he's true, and he will prove himself in your life. If you don't know him today, you need to put your trust in him. You need to obey the scriptures that you know, and the more you trust him, the more he will reveal himself to you, and the more you'll see that you can trust him. It gets stronger and better all the time. Hallelujah. I used to think the Lord gets better and better. No, he doesn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But my understanding of his goodness gets greater and greater, and I begin to see him for what he really is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when we were principal of Christian school in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and I don't know exactly what happened, but my wife and I began to have a burden for the saints of the Soviet Union. We understood that they were being persecuted. And, you know, here we are, Christians in America. We had Christian bookstore, Christian radio. We had Christian magazines. We had all this freedom. We could come and go as we please. But from what I understood, our brothers and sisters were being locked up, put in prison, and being persecuted for their faith. And I just began to feel guilty, because I think, here I am enjoying these blessings. They're suffering, and I'm not even praying for them. Amen. And so I began to pray for them every day. And as principal of the school, I got stories, and I would bring it to the school, and I would read stories about people that were suffering for their faith. And even the school began to pray for them. And we prayed for the Soviet Union, the saints there, for about 10 years. And I made a promise to God that if you would ever allow me to go to the Soviet Union, I would go. Well, I knew that was impossible because we were enemies and the wall was up. But lo and behold, after 10 years, the wall fell. And it was a February evening. And I went to the altar in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and I told the Lord, I promise you, Lord, you make it possible for me to go, I'll go. You better be careful what you pray for, because God hears your prayer. That was February. In May of the same year, I received a phone call saying that I was invited by the Minister of Education for the country of Belarus to go there and put Christian principles into their public school system. Hallelujah. I didn't even know where Belarus was. I thought it was a city. I found out later it's a country in the former Soviet Union. Amen. And we went there, and this church, Brother and Sister Grant, this church supported us from day one, and I want to thank you over and over and over again. You have supported us financially, and you have been with us in prayer, and I thank you. I've had so many people say, Brother Nichols, I've been praying for you for a long time. Thank you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We went to that nation not knowing anybody. It was miracles that God introduced us to people, and we couldn't speak the language. We could not speak the language. We didn't even know how to shop, and it was so different. But God made a way where there was no way. And we were introduced to somebody through a miracle, and God made it possible for me to teach in four universities. And I began to teach in the universities marketing based on biblical principles. From my first marketing class, Brother Pasha Rogic came and said, I want to know more about your God. He and a fellow student we took home, gave them a Bible study. They repented of their sins. We baptized them in Jesus' name. And Brother... speaking in other tongues. Praise the Lord. We're still on Praise the Lord. And that started the church in Belarus. And I'm happy to report that as of today, there are now 43 churches in the country of Belarus. Every single one of them is pastored by a Belarusian. There are no American missionaries pastoring in that nation. And I want to say something about Bible quizzing. About 3 years ago, with the help of Brother Henry Baczynski, we introduced Bible quizzing in the country of Belarus. It has really generated a lot of hope and a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of joy in that nation. Just last year, I used to go to Belarus about every 5 or 6 weeks. Just last year, when I went to go to Belarus, the government forbade me to go in. They're under heavy persecution. The KGB has been hassling our churches, and now they're stopping us from going in. And I cannot tell you the joy that they have because of Bible quizzing. They have been locked out and they have been separated from other believers. But in the face of persecution, they still get together. They still meet in their homes and they still travel from town to town, and they have Bible quizzing and they have fellowship and they have church meeting, and the church of God continues to go in that nation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you think of it, pray for your brothers and sisters in the country of Belarus. In the year 2002, we went to Poland. We didn't know anybody in Poland, and we just hung up our own shingle, and we began to have a church service. Make a long story short, in the last deputation, we were able to open up 6 churches and preaching points around the country of Belarus. In 2010, we began to go in the country of Ukraine. We are now appointed missionaries to Ukraine, Belarus, and Poland. Just in northwest Ukraine, since 2010, we have opened 22 churches in that country. Praise the Lord. I thank God for what He's doing in that country. Praise the Lord. February of this year, Mark Schutz and I went to Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan, which is in the Himalaya Mountains. It's in Kyrgyzstan, which borders China. We are about 100 miles from China. It's a heavy Al-Qaeda influence there. But we brought together pastors that we didn't know. There were pastors from all kinds of different denominations. 9 of them received the Holy Ghost. 6 of them were baptized in Jesus' name. And we've opened up 14 Bible schools in that nation. Now listen to this, saints. There's 2 pastors there that are women. Both of those women go into southern part of this nation, and they have been in villages where each one of them has been stoned with stones for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they let their wounds heal. And you know what they did? They went right back into the same villages, and they in those regions of Kyrgyzstan. Hallelujah. God's Spirit is going throughout this world. Praise the Lord. Amen. This keeps going out. I think there's a devil in the microphone. Praise the Lord. Trying to shut me up. I won't be quiet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we now go around the Soviet Union. We go into Central Asia. We go into the Baltics, in the country of Georgia, Ukraine, and all these nations. And let me tell you something. There's a tremendous revival. And another thing that's really amazing, all these countries we're going to, we are meeting with pastors of other denominations that have never heard about baptism in Jesus' name and have never heard about the oneness message, and they are receiving it. We are baptizing them. They are receiving the Holy Ghost, and there's an outpouring of the truth all over that area. Praise the Lord. And I want to thank you all for supporting us with your prayers and with your finances in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. We're sorry, Brother Nichols, about the sound. Normally, that doesn't happen. But it does occasionally happen, and it happened tonight, but hopefully everything will be all right.
Bog tak harosh. God is so good in Russian. Hallelujah. I just love the sweet presence of the Lord that I feel. And I've said it this morning, I'll say it again. Whenever God gathers us together in His name, He wants to do something. And He's not going to waste our time. And there's people here, I don't know you. I don't know your background. I don't know what you think or where you're at. But God knows. And there's people here that God really wants to touch your life today. God wants to change your life for the better. You know, there's a lot of people that really, they badmouth the church. They badmouth Christianity. And honestly, they don't know what they're talking about. And I'm not trying to be unkind, but most of the people that I have talked to that don't believe the Bible are people who have never read the Bible. And most of the people that I've ever talked to that say it's just foolishness, they've never tried it. They've never put their trust or faith in it. And I'm here tonight to tell you, I'll guarantee you by the Word of God, if you honestly open up your heart, and you honestly put your confidence in this book, you will experience something that is above what you're able to even ask or think. And that God is here tonight. And you know what I don't want to do? I don't want to just gather together and you know, say, well, that was really nice, and have warm, fuzzy feelings and just go home unchanged, untouched. But I want us to really open up our hearts tonight as we open up the Bible. Let God speak to our hearts. You know, this world's hurting. I mean, this world is hurting. People have real problems. And their lives are so complicated. I'm 63 years old. And you know, I'm starting to sound like an old guy. Maybe 63 is old. I don't know. It's young if you're a tree, you know. But it just seems like this world has gotten so complicated. It seems like when I was younger, sure, people had problems, but they were more solvable. Now it seems like they're so intertwined with other problems that you can't pull it apart and you can't separate it. It's kind of like scrambling an egg. Once it's scrambled, you can't unscramble it. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And if you will only allow yourself a little bit of faith to say, you know what, I'm going to come forward tonight. I'm going to trust this thing. I'm going to do what the Bible says. God will show you his mighty power. I never feel like I have to defend the Lord because he will defend it. I never argue about the Bible. I don't. I don't have to prove the Bible. God will prove his word. All I want to do is to give it out and say, here, read this. This is for you. And so God's here tonight, and you're here tonight. So let's not waste our time. Let's open up our hearts as we hear the word and let God do something mighty for us tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. If I want to read from the Gospel of John chapter 19, starting at verse 1. John 19, verse 1. Again, I want to thank Brother and Sister Grant and this church for all you have done for us. You are so kind, and it's really humbling to stand behind this pulpit that Brother Grant teaches behind and preaches behind. Brother Grant is a great man of God. He's got a lot of wisdom, a lot of experience, and God has used him in a mighty way. And I just feel very humbled to stand behind his pulpit and to preach tonight. But God is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto him, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Praise the Lord. Saints of God, that's a real story that took place in a real setting of history. It can be proven in history that took place in our history. But you know, we don't think about this. I said it today. When we read the Bible, too often we just read it as a story and we don't stop to think about what was happening there physically and emotionally and spiritually. And you know, Jesus had followers. He had the disciples. And the disciples happened to be there when Jesus was crucified. Now, the disciples were taught by Jesus. They walked with him for over 3 years. They lived with him. They ate with him. They heard his teaching. They heard his preaching. And they really thought that the Messiah had come. That this Messiah had come, and he was going to free them from Roman rule. Amen. And now here it is, the crucifixion. They've taken Jesus, they scourged him, and then they take him up on the hill and they crucify him. They pound nails into his hands and into his feet. And they hang a sign over him saying, "King of the Jews," and they mock him and spit at him. And Jesus suffers and dies on the cross. The followers of Jesus, the disciples, were heartbroken. They were saddened, and they were afraid, and they were discouraged because all their hopes had died, and they thought the Messiah was gone, that maybe he was a good man, but maybe he just wasn't what they thought he was. Their hope had died when Jesus died on the cross. And the Bible says, you can read in John chapter 20, starting at verse 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, 'Peace be unto you.' And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You know, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. They saw him die. They saw him buried. And they thought it was over. That was the end. He was a good man. He tried, but it's all over. But I'm telling you something. 3 days later, we can read in the Bible, then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. The Bible says the doors were locked. The disciples were afraid. Then came Jesus. And the disciples were glad because they understood that Christ made the impossible possible. Hallelujah. He made the impossible possible. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. The saints of God, the disciples thought it was over. And sometimes people, you get bad news, you get in a bad situation, maybe you get bad news about your health, or maybe you get bad news about your finances, or maybe you get bad news about relationships, and people say, I'm sorry, but it's over. But I'm here to tell you, it is not over until the God of heaven says it over, and God can make a way where there is no way. I don't care if the doctor says it's over, it ain't over if God says it's not over. If the lawyer says it's over, it ain't over if God says it's not over. If the banker says it's over, it ain't over if God said it ain't over. If the husband or wife says it's over, it ain't over until Jesus says it's over.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! All things are possible. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, man has a word in his vocabulary called impossible. But impossible is not in God's vocabulary. Luke 18:27 says, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know what I'm talking about because God has given me many, he has made possible many situations in my life that were impossible. And the Bible is recorded story after story of impossibilities that Jesus made possible. Amen. And let me tell you something. We pray sometimes, and when we pray, We just beg God to help us, but in our back of our minds, we think, but God's not going to help me. We do. Because I've seen people, when God answers their prayer, they're shocked. Oh, my word. Wow, God really did answer my prayer. We should not be shocked. Amen. Amen. With God, all things are possible. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can read in John chapter 9 about the blind man. There was a blind man. He was born blind. He lived in darkness all his life. Nothing could be done for him. The doctors couldn't help him. Nobody could help him. He was destined to live in a life of blindness and darkness. But then came Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus spit in the dirt. He made clay, and he put it in the blind man's eyes, and he sent him to wash and to pull his Siloam, and the man came seeing. Then came Jesus. All things are possible when Jesus enters a situation. Amen. Amen. You can look at Mark chapter 5, and you can read the story about the man who was full of demons. The Bible says that his name was Legion because he was full of many demons. And you know, the world tries to help, and they try to offer their situation. You know what the situation was that the world gave this man? To tie him in chains. He lived in the cemetery. And they tied him in chains. But the problem is, he kept breaking the chains. And no man could help him. It was impossible to change that man. But then came Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus touched that man. And the Bible says the demons left him. And that man was found fully clothed and in his right mind. Because then came Jesus into an impossible situation.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. You look at Luke chapter 5. There was a man, the Bible said, that had leprosy. But not only did he have leprosy, he was full of leprosy. Amen. Man's answer was to put him away in a leper colony. He was destined to be away from his family. He was, as it were, a walking dead man. No contact with family. No contact with friends. No contact with society. If somebody came up to him, he had to cover his mouth and he had to yell, unclean, unclean, so people would stay away from him. He was destined for that kind of a life. But then came Jesus. And that man said, here's my chance. I've heard of Jesus. And he ran to Jesus. Amen. And the Lord healed that man, and his leprosy was cleansed, and that man was healed from that day forward because Jesus made the impossible possible. Amen. And you can read story after story after story in the scriptures. You can look in the Old Testament. You know the story about how the three men refused to bow down before the statue of the king, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I loved what they said. They said, King, you can throw us in that fiery furnace if you want to, but we're not bowing down to your image. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says when they were thrown into that furnace, it was made seven times hotter. And they were thrown into that furnace, and when they looked into their furnace, they saw a fourth man in that furnace like the Son of God. Let me tell you something. Then came Jesus in the midst of the fiery furnace. And those men were untouched by the flame. Praise the Lord. And they come out, and you know what happened? The king said, everybody's going to worship their God. Hallelujah. With God, all things are possible. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you can read about the widow of Nain, whose son had died, and they were having a funeral procession. And Jesus ruined their funeral. He ruined their funeral. He raised that boy from the dead. Then came Jesus. Praise the Lord. And he can change everything. You know, you can read the stories in the Bible. And let me tell you something. You know what? You need confidence when you pray. Not confidence in whether or not you deserve for God to hear your prayer. Because you don't deserve it, and neither do I. It's his mercy, the reason he answers prayer. It's his great love for us, the reason he answers prayer. And let me tell you something. There's story after story after story in this book of how God comes into a situation and he takes the impossible and makes it possible. Now, let me tell you something. God is not going to ruin his reputation by not answering your prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. If we believe, God will answer our prayers. You know, I had the privilege of being in Belarus and Eastern Europe, and I went to Serbia, and I met a man, Brother Balsa, Sam Balsa's cousin. And I met that man. I sat across the kitchen table from him at his farmhouse someplace in Serbia. And that man was suffered persecution for his faith. That man was preaching the gospel, and the authorities caught him, and they put him in jail. Now, before he ever had his trial, what they did is they stripped him down, and they put him in a stream, and they made him stay in that stream I don't know how long, and there was a guard guarding him in the autumn of that year. And it was cold, and he was suffering from that cold. And that was just to tender him up a little bit for the trial. He wasn't even at trial yet. And a guard said to him after so long, he said, I don't know why you're dead. And the man said, because I have a God that is able to keep me alive. And the guard said, you know what? You must, because I have no idea why you're living. They took that man and they locked him up in a coal bin for several days naked on a pile of coal. That man had a trial, and his lawyer wanted to just get him a reduced sentence because his lawyer already said, you're guilty. And he was accused of being a spy against his nation, and he was given 16 years in a communist prison. That man lived in that prison, and he worked in that prison. They had to make tiles. They made these ceramic tiles for heaters in Serbia, and they had to make a certain quota every day. And this man, he began to work and lead a team, and they were making something like twice as many tiles as they were supposed to. And the person in charge of the prison was talking to him and said, "What is wrong with you? You know, here you are in prison, and you're doing even more than you have to." And the man said, "Let me tell you something. I'm not working for you. I'm working for the Lord." Hallelujah. He told me that every night they were put in a cage on a concrete floor. It stood about this high off the ground. There were five or six men put in this cage. He said, before we got in there, we had to decide, would we lay on our right side or our left side? And they would put him in that cage every night, and they would slide in, and they would lock him in that cage. He said the prison was so dirty that they began to get bug bites and all these infections. And he said he looked at his body, and there were sores, and there were sores with pus and oozing in his body. And he said he was in terrible pain. Every so many months, they let these men out of prison, and they went to a lake, and they were allowed just to dunk themselves in the lake, and that was their bath. He said that one time they took him out, and it was snow covered. The lake was snow covered. They were all naked. They marched out naked and stood in the snow while a couple people shoveled off the ice, and then somebody with an axe began to punch a hole in that ice, and then one by one, they were able to dunk themselves in that lake. He said, while I was standing there, I looked up to heaven, and he said, "God, I'm not going to ask you to set me free, but what I am going to ask you to heal my body." And he told everybody there, he said, "God is going to heal my body." He said he took, it was his turn, he went in the lake, he came out, and nothing happened. He went to bed that night, and they put him in his cage, and he still had the bed sores and all these sores. He said the next morning when they opened that up, one by one, they slid out to go to work. He said, when I came out, the men that were out looked at me, and they jumped backwards, and they said, "Look at you." He said, "Brother Nichols, I want to tell you something." He said, "I came out of that cage. I looked at my body." He said, "There was not one sore on my body. There was not one ache, not one hurt. Because God made a way where there was no way. And God healed that man." Make a long story short, somehow the person in charge of the prison system at that time, it was part of Yugoslavia. So whoever was in charge of the prison system for Yugoslavia heard about this man, and he decided to take a trip to visit him. And when he came to the prison, he talked to him, and this man told him about the Lord. He said, "You know what, old man?" He says, "Nobody cares about you. I don't know why you do the things you do." And he says, "I do what I do because I love the Lord, and I will serve God even in this place." That man said, "You know what? I'm going to release you from prison." The head of the prison department, he left, and the other prisoner said, "Listen, that man's going to forget you as soon as he gets out of here." You know what happens? He had already spent 9 years there. You know what happened? A few days later, he gets noticed that he has been released from prison. God made a way where there was no way, and God released him from that prison. Praise the Lord. I said, "Well, brother, what did you do?" He said, "They gave me a train ticket and a little bag." And he said, "I took it home. I had my Bible in there. I went back to my village and I opened churches and preached the gospel again." Saints of God, God will make a way where there was no way. God will make the impossible possible. Amen. Praise the Lord. My wife is sitting here. My wife, I love my wife. We've been married 40 years. Amen. I know I look too young because all my hair hasn't come in yet, but it's coming. But my wife had an incurable disease. It was called lupus erythematosus. Now, it's hard enough to say, let alone cure, but as far as I know, as far as I've been told, there's no cure for lupus erythematosus. That it is impossible. And my wife had complications from that disease. And when we got saved, we didn't know the Bible. We didn't know the scriptures. We didn't know anything except we believed God. Our pastor in Eau Claire called us up and they laid hands on my wife and they prayed that God would heal her lupus. I'm telling you, by the word of God, my wife was completely healed of lupus erythematosus. She went to the doctor. The doctor said there is no trace of that disease in her body. That was 38 years ago. She has no lupus erythematosus in her body. Our God is an awesome God, and our God can do anything. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it really amazes me when people are healed. There's people who don't believe it. Our pastor told us of a person he knew that had a little girl. I don't remember what happened, but she was healed. An impossible situation. She was healed. And they were so excited. They took their little girl to their neighbor's house and they said, our daughter's healed. Just look at her. And this person said, their neighbor turned around, covered their eyes and said, no, I don't believe it. Now, let me tell you something. I don't care if somebody doesn't believe that my wife was healed. I'll tell you why. I know she's healed. She has no disease in her body. And it doesn't matter whether they believe or not. I know what God has done. And he did the impossible because then came Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, in Warsaw, we have gone through some dry spells. We were gone for 2 years, and we lost just about everybody we had in Warsaw. And we were going through a really dry town. It was a dry spell. And I remember it was the beginning of May 2011. I know if it was the first day of May, second day. It was the first Sunday anyway. And the Lord said to me, he said, you get up and you tell them somebody's received the Holy Ghost in this place this month. Now, we were going through a dry spell, and people were pretty discouraged. So I made that statement. We had Wednesday night services. We had Sunday night services. Nobody received the Holy Ghost. It went on and on until finally the last Sunday of the month. We had church service, and nothing happened. My wife said, you're the pastor. You just told everybody somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost before the end of the month. I said, I know. And I'm not worried because God is in control. And you know what? We didn't try to make it happen. We didn't try to work it out. We came home from church and we did what we normally do and our telephone rang. Natasha Filimonova from Belarus is helping us in Poland. She had talked to a lady who was supposed to come to church that Sunday and couldn't come. But that lady called her and said, I really want to come. She said, do you think that I could go to your pastor's house and they could pray for me and I might receive the Holy Ghost that you're talking about? Natasha said, yes, you can. She came on May 31st. She came to our house at 10 o'clock in the morning. We gave her a little Bible study. We laid hands on her. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. Just as God said, let me tell you something. If God tells you something, it will absolutely come to pass. Hallelujah. Because God makes the impossible possible. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God is so good. I can tell you miracle after miracle, crooked foot that God instantly healed while we prayed, a broken back instantly healed while we prayed. In a small village of Belarus, there was one boy that was cross-eyed, and his mouth was all gnarled up because when he was born, they did something to him and he could barely speak. The educators in Belarus told this woman, she said, "You keep your son home. We don't want him in our school because your son is an idiot." That's just what they told her. I had never laid eyes before on that woman. I was asked to go and pray for her sons. And I remember driving across Belarus, and we got to that place, and it was an old dirt road. And on that dirt road, we went up, and it was hot. It was one of the hottest summers that they had in a long time. And I remember there was a herd of cows, and we had to just drive through the herd of cows. And we got there, and they lived in an old house that had a dirt floor. And they were poor. And that mother began to cry, and she said, "Why did you come?" She said, "All the villagers said, no American's going to come here. They don't care about you or your son." And I said, "Let me tell you something. Jesus died for you and your son. And God cares about you and your son." We had a Bible study, and after the Bible study, we laid hands on that little boy. God instantly healed him of his cross eyes. A few days later, God began to straighten out his jaw and his mouth. God healed that boy so he could talk just like anybody else. Our God is an awesome God, and our God can do anything. Hallelujah! 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 Don't tell me God can't do it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Listen, you're here today, and I don't know your situation. I have no idea what your situation is. I don't know what your dreams are. I don't know what your hopes are. I don't know what your fears are. I don't know what your aspirations are. But Jesus is here, and he knows your every situation. Whether you're a saint of God who's known him for many years, or this is your first time here, God loves you. And he is here to do in your life what you thought was totally impossible. Hallelujah. Our God will make a way where there is no way. You need healing tonight, our God can heal your body. Not only that, our God will heal your body. You don't know him, you need salvation. You come to this altar, you repent of your sins. Be baptized in his name and receive his spirit. And I'll guarantee you, by the word of God, you'll never be the same again. God loves you. And God will make a way where there is no way. Whatever your need is, let me tell you this. God responds to needs. The people who receive nothing from God are the people who just say, "I don't need anything." But when you recognize that you have a need, God will be there. And God will make all things possible to those who believe. Praise the Lord, Brother Grant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Nichols, for that excellent word. If you need prayer for your body, you need it.